Welcome to Brain is the New Ass. I'm your host, Katie Brigham, and here we just have girl talk. Serious, but like funny girl talk. Common themes are health, relationships, and personal stories. Thank you for being here. All right, guys. I'm here with Brie, one of my favorite people on the planet, at Brianna DiOrio. Is it it's DiOrio, right?
Yes, DiOrio, like the cookie, with a D in front, I guess.
And we've already talked about us not being related, right? Because, like, my dad's side has, like, DiOrio in it.
Yes. I mean, who knows? With the Italian lineage, we're so similar anyway. I feel like there is just this connection and bond with us. So, like, yes. I low-key am just going to pretend that we're, like, related and just go with that.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be so fun if we were. Can you imagine how fun holidays would be?
Oh my God. Well, your dad and my dad, I feel like, would be best friends because your relationship with Zabul is so cute. And like him and Bob, I feel like would just be like besties.
Oh my gosh. For those who don't know, we do both have like the best dads. And they're just like old dudes who are so sweet. You always showcase him on social media. I showcase Zabul. They're the absolute best.
You should have him on the podcast.
I know. I really should.
Yeah.
Did you have your dad on?
No, I always joke like because the Brie and Bob saga, you know, people like low-key love that on Instagram, but I'm not sure the world is fully ready for Bob yet. He's a lot to take in sometimes. So maybe we'll do like a quad podcast.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so much fun. I would love that. Okay. Well, I'm so excited to pick your brain today because I mean, I feel like I pick your brain all the time. For people who don't know, I will like text Brie the most random things. So I'll be like, this is my theory on XYZ. What do you think? And because I like texting or having relationships with people who I think are smarter than me. So like that I can be like, what do you think of this? Or what do you think of that? Because my mind is always churning when it comes to health stuff and theories that I have. And that's one of my checklists that I do. I have a roster of people like bam, 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 bam. Like I'll go down and see what they think. And you're on my list. So
well, that's quite an honor because I feel the same way about you. I respect the research that you always do and you don't make like crazy marketing claims and you always substantiate things and you're research forward, but you also keep it real, which I love. So I think, you know, it's mutual.
Thanks, girl. I feel like we both do a pretty good job of not having crazy marketing claims. That is one thing I hate in health and wellness is like the overpromising because it's just like anything can be proven that it works, but it's just like it's not proven that it works for you. Yeah. And things are always touted as this blanket statement like XYZ is going to work for you. And it's like, might not though.
It's crazy because obviously there's like this Instagram presence of anybody can be a health, wellness, influencer, coach, whatever. Yeah. And obviously like you and I fall into that space. But then also like for me personally, I've been in the dietary supplement industry for like 10 years now on the private label side
of
things.
You have your freaking PhD. Yes. And you've been doing all that.
And I have a PhD. I know. I always forget about that. But it's interesting to see like how the Instagram kind of social media languages and then, you know, what you have to do from a dietary supplement. You understand. I mean, you have your own formulations and all that. Like there are certain things you legally cannot say, like, you know, from a DSHEA compliance standpoint and being able to substantiate claims. So like it's really important, not only from like a legal standpoint, but I think also like kind of what you and I talk about a lot is like at the end of the day, it is people's health. And there is pure intentions behind why people are trying to take 1,000 things because they ultimately want to feel better. So if someone really doesn't have any idea or the lens to be able to be research literate or what have you, when they go across a company that has a very pretty page and marketing and it's like boost immunity, boost energy. And you're like, what does that mean? What's the mechanism of action? And like, is that actually true with your ingredients and all that? So like that is the frustration for me.
I know. It's so frustrating for me as well with people. Okay. This is like a very random question, but you know how like people are just starting out on their health journeys and they have no data at all on their body. And you know, there's so many different modalities of data that one can collect: stool tests, Dutch tests, blood tests, epigenetics. You know, there's so much that we can do. What do you think? Because I feel like everyone has a different opinion on this. What do you think? Like, let's say someone's like, I'm going to get one set of data. What should it be? Of those that I named, what do you think you would pick first for someone?
I'm super old school, and I believe in starting with a really thorough intake form process. Any of my clients can be a testament for that of you will go and fill out like probably 20 plus pages, because it's about figuring out how you're not listening to your body. And as I've always said, and you and I have talked, like, symptoms aren't the problem. They're the result of a problem. So where are there problems and imbalances that we haven't been paying attention to, and what was going on right before I started feeling unwell? And sometimes why I don't love starting with all these fancy, crazy tests is that we get confirmation bias, and people live by the paper. And I always tell my clients, like, we treat the person, not the paper, because sometimes, you know, I've seen it where labs look amazing and they're a hot mess, or vice versa.
Yes, so like, that's very true.
Yeah. So I want to go really deep into the very basic, boring stuff, but also like what is actually going on in an honest assessment. So we go over liver stuff, you know, gut, what's going on with your adrenals, thyroid, and questions that kind of prompt that. So like asking, you know, like, what time are you waking up? What are you craving? Like, you know, where do you have pain? What kind of medications are you on? Supplements, herbs, whatever it is. And like, that is the blueprint to start with. And if anybody who like pretends to be in this functional wellness world, like, you know, I know for myself, I studied a lot of Chinese medicine and naturopathic medicine. Like, these original doctors, I joke about it a lot, like, they were looking at your tongue and your eyes and your pulse and like doing all that, and not being like, what's going on with your, and I love Dutch hormone testing and, you know, stool test. I love all that stuff, but I think that needs to be like chapter five and not chapter one.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, the intake forms, when people first do something functional with their health, they're going to be like, whoa, they're not used to doctors asking them these many questions. They're used to like, what's your billing? How old are you? How much do you weigh? That's it. Yeah. You know,
and if somebody has basic labs, I always tell people, like, listen, if you've gotten labs done recently, it's a good jumping off point. It's one piece of the health puzzle. And again, like, it's been really interesting too, because so many doctors are fighting people on even getting like their vitamin D levels checked or homocysteine, like very basic markers that you would, you know, like want to get. And so if I have that, I even will take the time and a step back, because it's also about interpreting labs correctly about where are things trending relative to your symptoms. So if we're only looking at the labs and we don't even know what's going on behind the scenes, it doesn't really give us the whole picture. So like, I want to explain to somebody like, oh, do we see how all of our white blood cells are trending low, and like, you're chronically tired all the time, and you know, when you were younger, you got sick a lot. Like, we want to make the whole picture together and not just get stuck on one piece of the puzzle.
Yes, I agree with that. Okay. But let's say you do your intake form. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, and you can tell there's gut issues. Let's just like say that, because I feel like everyone and their mom has gut issues these days. If you had to, then you're going to get data. Okay. If you had to do stool tests or blood tests first, blood work first, what would you do if you could only pick one?
If it's gut stuff going on, I would likely do the stool test, like the GI map test, and then also get markers of things like zonulin and, you know, like some of your other like C-reactive protein, like some other markers that can look at systemic inflammation and not just get so hung up on like the exact bacteria that's out of ratio, right? Like, we also want to see what's going on, like if we're having intestinal permeability. I mean, I would also, if you're having gut problems, it's not always about the GI tract. Like, I would maybe also even put the Dutch hormone test like up there, because that tells us a lot as well, because it goes into the metabolites and like what your body is preferring to do with what's going on internally. So I am a really big proponent of that, but I don't always love starting with that like day one, because it can be overwhelming for people. And again, they like live and die by it.
Yeah, totally. Health really can be super overwhelming, you know, and it is time consuming and getting healthy. It's like, I was just thinking about this today, because like, you know, even my parents and like even just some of my friends will be like, I don't understand how you can live this way. Like, they see the food that I eat, the practices that I do. They see me prioritizing stress and all these other things. And it's like, I'm not going to lie, that is a sacrifice, you know? Like, it definitely is, but you gain so much, of course, but there's no such thing as a free lunch. Because I care for my health, I'm not able to like have fun at the carnival and eat the carnival food. And I, I mean, I'm not able to just be like, fuck it, 5 hours of sleep and power on through with a, you know, a monster drink the next day.
The sleep thing is actually like the biggest thing for me. Sleep and drinking as well. Like I've never been a big drinker or a big partier, but like, so from a dating standpoint, actually, like it is low key stressful because like I will say to myself, like, okay, so somebody wants to go out on like a Thursday night and like, I still call it the school week. I'm like, I really don't want to go out during the school week. I'm a very routine scheduled person. I'm like, they're going to want to go out at like 6 or 7 o'clock. Then we're going to have this whatever date, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get home until like 10:30. I'm not going to be able to wind down till 11. I want to go to Pilates at like 6 a.m. And like, I literally am just like, is this worth messing up my lymphatic system? Because probably not, you know? So it's like, I think about that kind of stuff and I'm just like, oh my God, it is a full-time job.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Dating as a health girly. Oh my gosh.
They need to like, make an app for that, honestly. I don't know why they haven't yet.
Yes, 5 p.m. dinners, you know, and all the things. I would love that. Or you know what I really would love is, this is side note, I guess, like kind of dating would be tied into it because it would make me want to choose this restaurant. But don't you wish you knew what restaurants filter their water?
Ooh, yeah. I actually didn't even think about that because I feel like, well, if I'm going on a date, I feel like I'm not drinking water usually when I'm eating anyway because of digestion.
Right. And then I do the same.
And then I'll sometimes have like, I call it my prop cocktail because like I nurse drinks. I'm like famous for that. I get like one drink and I drink it for like 3 hours and I am the worst. But yeah, that is interesting. I usually ask for like bottle if they have like a Pellegrino or something. That's kind of my way to digest that.
Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Oh my God, let's open up a restaurant that's for dating. We'll make like a chain that it's like all filtered water, organic. Everybody has to leave by 8 p.m.
Yes.
You get blue blocker glasses. Oh my God, it'd be the best. Everybody gets like a wellness tonic shot like to support their liver before they leave like activated charcoal and some B vitamins. I think we're on to something. And honestly, if somebody steals this, so help me God.
I think that would be so amazing. Like,
wow.
Hey, ma'am, notice that you had a cocktail tonight. We just slipped in some NAC and some vitamin C and and like liver support for you.
Absolutely. If you can't handle me at that, then you know, I don't want it.
Oh, for real. For real. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Okay. I want to tell you about my favorite product from MSW Nutrition. This is something that I used for a really long time. It's called Bliss. It's basically a serotonin and dopamine booster. It's sublingual. It's like this little powder. You put it under your tongue. It is so good for mood support. It's also great for the joints. It's also great for the liver. If you have an MTHFR gene mutation, it can be wonderful for that. I take this in times when I just have a little slump socially. I'll take it then. I'll take it if I have a cocktail. That's rare. But if I do, I'll take it then. It's wonderful. Try it out. My code is VioletFog. I feel like we're already doing this, but I want to play kind of like a semi-rapid fire game with you. Not like the type where I say something and you only give one word answer, but like I was thinking I wanted to roll through some health trends with you. And I think some things will be obvious that you and I are both like, heck no, but I want to say them anyways just because they're trendy for a reason, right? Like people are loving them or trying them and being like radically disappointed, but I wanted to roll through some of them with you. And the rapid fire will be this. I'm going to say what it is, and then you're going to tell me something that you like about it and then something that you don't like about it.
Okay.
So even if it's a trend that you just want to like, you know, kick to the trash, like you have to say one thing you like about it.
Yes. I'm usually pretty good at that in life in general. I like to be devil's advocate or play Switzerland, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah.
I do. That's a big way that I draw conclusions on things is I'll have a strong stance and then I try to argue it myself. I'll find all the arguments against it. And I just kind of like ping pong back and forth until I whittle it down to what makes sense for me.
That's why you're a good researcher. Any good researcher is always preparing for what the opposing argument could be as well.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Totally. Okay. These are going to be so random, Brie, but I feel like you're all about that. So, okay. The first one. Butter in coffee or high fat in coffee?
So
one thing you like, one thing you don't like.
So, oh God. Well, One thing I like is coffee. So I like that people are drinking. I like that people are drinking coffee because, as you know, caffeine, the compound in coffee, and caffeic acid and some of the other secondary polyphenols, I like that for, you know, brain health and,
yes,
you know,
me too.
The antioxidants. Yes. So I like the coffee.
I what hate I when don't... people are anti-coffee. There's so many antioxidants in that. You can totally do it right. Okay. Anyways, yeah. Go on.
Yes. Yeah, we could do a whole episode on that.
Yeah, we could.
What I don't like about it is the marketing claims behind it. And yes. I think people think it is a cure-all. And it is a calorie fat bomb at the end of the day. So if you have aesthetic goals, then it is going to add up. And you can't. You can also just use your butter elsewhere, like in vegetables, mm-hmm, to increase the carotenoid content. So you don't have to put it in your coffee if you don't want to. You can. I think you could probably use it, you know, maybe on your sourdough bread.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Totally. It's like the what I also have a problem with is the marketing of, like, they've basically made it like your coffee is shit if you don't have MCT oil or butter in it. And it's like, actually –
yeah, they charge like $9 at Whole Foods for it. I'm just like, hello? Are we okay as a country?
I know. No, we are not. We are not, by the way. But yeah, no, like, honestly, it is ridiculous. Yeah, I've seen that too. Literally like a $9 latte. It's just this $2 coffee with a little thing of butter. Yeah. And then they blended it.
Crazy. I think when I lived in California, I think they actually had like bulletproof coffee shops. I don't know if they still exist, but I was just like, do we need this? Do we need this?
For sure.
You know, at the end of the day, gosh, I think that's what it is too. People forget it is a whole product line, right? So like, again, what's the intention behind it? I get we're all trying to make money, but like, so interesting that you're the one claiming that there's all these health benefits. And then like, oh, I seem to have a product that matches perfectly for that. And a coffee bean that goes with it and an MCT oil. And, you know, like it's this whole lineage. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. I know. Totally. For
but
sure.
If it makes
I will
happy,
say,
then do it.
Yes. Sometimes it does make me happy every now and then because I do feel good with a lot of fat. And sometimes, but I have to like mentally be like, this is a true snack, you know, because at the end of the day, if I do make it, and it usually will be butter, sometimes I will do like MCT or sometimes I'll just do like a thick coconut cream because I just love it. It's so good. And I love to like throw in all my powders and shit, you know, or my potions. Sometimes sometimes I just want my coffee to be coffee. But every now and then I like to like decorate it. But I do also have to be like mindful, like, okay, at the end, like this is probably, you know, a 200 calorie thing right now and not just 20 calories. And I
actually feel horrible when I tried, because I've tried it. I tried the trends, you know, like I've tried keto. I don't know if it's because I'm like Italian or what, like I feel horrible when I eat super high fat. I actually never get full and I get super bloated and I do not feel good. Like it just does not work for my body. So to your point, if it works for you and you feel like your brain works better on a higher fat, you know, diet that works for your specific biochemical individuality, absolutely. Yeah. But I tell that to people too with any health trend, like even if it works for everybody else and there are benefits and there's research and that's great, but it still doesn't work for you, then don't do it.
Right. Oh, totally. I completely agree. And I very much do think some people do way better with a little bit more carbs and some people a little bit better with fat. Like genes will tell us that, which I think is fascinating. Okay. All right. So next one, celery juice. You got famous for this opinion, Bree. This is the thing that launched the fire for you or started the fire.
Celery juice. So what I like about it is that you're eating another plant compound and you're getting more vegetables into your day.
Yes.
What I don't like about it is, again, the blanket statement of it's a cure-all and it's going to fix all of your problems. I've had a lot of people tell me over the years that they've actually had flare-ups from drinking celery juice.
Yeah.
That they haven't felt great on it. I think that celery is not the only vegetable that has the compounds like tannins, and there's actually caffeic acid in celery. That's like another plant, that's another compound constituent that's found. So you could drink coffee or you could have celery juice.
Yeah.
So I don't love that it's, again, making all those claims. And also with any vegetable, I would want it to be organic. So I think a lot of these places too, like these people are buying a bunch of celery and it's probably not organic. So there's probably pesticides. So I don't, I don't love that. Again, what is the intention behind anything? And if it's because yes. you think it's going to fix all your problems, if you think it's going to fix your hormones, great. Use it. Placebo effect. Maybe it will work. Maybe it won't. But why are our hormones messed up in the first place?
Right. Oh my gosh. Totally. Yeah. That you bring up such a good point, because a lot of times people will hear a health trend and then they'll want to try it, but it detracts from what they really need to do, which is find the root cause in the first place.
I will die on this hill. I will totally die on this hill of like, if there is a trend, I don't even care like if the trend is not super substantiated, but if it does make you feel good, it's not hurting other people, you're not making it a religion and like living or dying by it, then yes. fine, lean into it. But do not forget the bigger picture of why you started that trend or leaned into that trend in the first place. If it's because mm-hmm. you don't have good energy or because you don't have good skin or hormones, let's follow that string down and see what is going on at the root, and then do the trend as well. And then, you know, it can all work together.
Yes, totally. Okay, next one, dry brushing.
Oh, God, I love dry brushing. What I like Me about too. It, I like everything about it. I like supporting the, you know, lymphatic system. Yes. I like that it's time just for you. I like that mm-hmm. it's pause, a forced pause to get you into awareness and parasympathetic mode. So
yes.
there's so much I like about it. What I don't like about it is, I don't know. I think it's like greens across the board. Do I have to find something I don't like?
Yes.
Maybe that's... Okay, maybe if people are doing it the wrong motion, you got to do it upwards. So people just are doing yes. it incorrectly, you know?
Yes. Yeah, you could say then that the bad thing is if people don't research how to do it beforehand, or they're like grinding their skin. That's another thing. I once saw this really popular blogger talk about how she just wanted the roughest dry brush she could possibly find. And I was like, holy shit. Like, that's so bad for your skin barrier to just be like ripping at it like that, you know?
Well, you know, Americans, if we think some is good, then more must be better.
That's so
and I,
true.
I've actually done that with I always give the example. I did that with tea tree oil. Like, I remember I had a pimple on my chin, and I like literally like burned the first layer of skin off of my face. So my pimple was gone, but so was my epidermis. So that was great for my dating life. You know, it was a really good time for me.
Oh my gosh. I totally get the more is more thing too. I remember like the first time I ever started trying to treat candida, and I got like oregano oil pills and Powdarco and all. I forget. It was like years ago. And I was just like, well, I want to eradicate this right away. So I'm just going to double like what's given to me. And oh my gosh, I was herxing. It was awful.
Yeah. We've all been there.
We've all been there. We all have something for sure. Yeah. Okay. Yes. All right, next one, colostrum.
Oh, I love colostrum for immune health, obviously. I think it's really great for immune health, for gut health. What I don't like about it is maybe, again, I just think the really big claims that it does everything for everybody. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a cure-all. It can definitely be a part of your healing plan, but I don't know if I would always, I would want to know why some other issues are going on as well.
Yeah, totally. It's also really expensive for good colostrum.
I don't even know how, I joke with my mom all the time. I'm like, how much is a gallon of milk? $80? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are certain things I just don't know. Like, if I want it, I'm going to buy it. And if I don't know, like, so I've never bought colostrum for myself. I don't think it's ever been in anybody's protocol that I've like, you know, written up. Yeah. So I wouldn't even know what the price point is. Yeah.
Yes, totally. I had I was like you know what? I actually did a ghost essay. I ghost wrote an essay for someone on colostrum. This is like a few years ago. And I was deep researching. I was like, holy shit, like this is so cool. I really wanted to try it. But, and I did, but I got eczema in 2 seconds. I'm just so highly reactive to dairy. And they try and say, even if you're not, you know, even if you're allergic to dairy, colostrum is different. Blah, blah, blah. But it certainly was not different. I'll tell you that. Not for me.
Is raw dairy the same for you as well? Yes. Like raw dairy? Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It is. I've gotten like different types of like sensitivity tests, and they are like through functional medicine doctors, and they're always off the charts. They always say they've never seen, you know, and it's who knows? You know, I'm still working on my gut. Maybe when I seal that baby up and I have no more leaky gut and I can finally just, you know, settle the dust on that.
How about Europe, though? How about, like, European dairy? Have you been to, like, Europe and drank the milk there? Because, you know, that is a story that happens for a lot, myself included. I don't have a full-on allergy, but literally when I was in Italy, I remember, like, the farmer was milking the cow, like, 5 feet away pretty much, and, like, the cheese was made right there. I didn't bloat for 1 second. My skin didn't break out. I mean, you know.
That sounds absolutely amazing. I feel like maybe I would do better with that for sure. Yeah. I just
you
have
to and
Dan
travel. Are going to have to do research and development in Europe. You know what I mean? It's
a business expense. Seriously. I know. I've done like no travel at all. Just fact about me. I've gone to Cabo and I lived in Italy as a baby, but I don't remember it because I was like, you know, two. And I've traveled all over the U.S., and I've been to the Caribbean, but that's honestly it. Like this girl, you know, I'm prime for travel.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel like travel sometimes is over romanticized. Like I traveled a lot when I was in my like late 20s and I feel like I was running away from myself a lot. I mean, I was traveling for work, but partially like I feel like when you really like yourself and your life and your routine and whatever, like, yeah, traveling's fun for certain things, but you could also travel like in your own state, in your own town and like make it. It's a mindset.
True.
You know what I mean? I've been crying on vacation or like happy at home. Like it's a mindset, you know?
That, oh my gosh, that is so true. Yeah, I've always wondered, I've like just never really had the travel bug ever.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's just nothing that I've ever like really, really craved. But I so agree with you on that. Like you can be happy or crying on your vacation. Does not matter.
I've left vacations early. Like your problems go with you. You know, I can't tell you the amount of times I have cried like on a plane, you know, like from whatever and they go with you. But I think there's like this, especially now with social media, like people make you like feel bad or we allow ourselves to feel bad from the comparison game of like, well, I should be wanting to be in like in Bali. And I'm like, or I could just like hang out and like chill with my friends and go to a new restaurant. Like I'm happy here too, you know.
Have you sat on your couch with sweatpants on before in a bun on your head with your favorite food sitting in your lap? Like that's pretty dang amazing.
Oh my God. No, honestly, I made a funny TikTok about that last Friday. I'm like, let's normalize like after a long week, sitting in silence, eating a big ass salad in my like white trash couture, like gray on gray sweat outfit and like laughing at TikToks and memes. Like that to me is just as exciting.
That's actually true joy to me. I love that. Yeah. Just being your
like
cozies.
Introverts.
I know. Yeah. Bree, if you ever came and visited me, I feel like we'd have the most like anticlimactic but like fun time. Like we'd go, you know, we'd do like dinner, some coffee shops, and then we'd come and home and just be in our PJs and hang out.
Yeah. But that is the sign of a true friendship, actually, to be able to just
be
together and not be performative. And I like also been joking about this too. Like, let's normalize having like a really long antisocial season until we feel ready to come out of our like social recluse cocoon and then interact with the world.
Oh my gosh, totally. There's so much pressure. You know, my favorite friendships are the low maintenance friendships where it's like, even if we go months without talking, it's like, you don't feel like nervous to talk to them again or like, oh my gosh, do they think that I abandoned them? Did they abandon me? Do we still even like each other? Does this like space mean that things have changed? No, it just means like you had like an antisocial time or things are going on. You know, it's so nice when it's just, you know, that person loves you and you love them. And there's just that like energy and electricity, but between you, but you don't have to like, as you say, be performative and call every week for two hours. You know what I mean? It's just...
I have some friends where we literally only communicate by sending each other TikToks and memes. And that is like, but they're like some of, like when I get married one day, like they will be at one of my friends, my dearest friends in California, Rocio, like literally. And then we'll like randomly pepper in like what we've learned in like, you know, therapy recently or like therapy TikTok or whatever. And like, that's it. And we don't have to like talk on the phone. And like, she's literally one of like my homies for life.
I love that. Every friendship looks so different. You know, I have like one girlfriend and I freaking love her. And like, our times of seeing each other really just consists of like last minute being like, hey, do you want to go for a walk together? And we'll walk like 3 miles for like an hour and a half. And then we might not see each other for another 2 weeks, but it's like all it is really like walks mainly. And, but it's such a beautiful, amazing friendship.
Yeah.
And it's just like so cool. And then I have friends, my friend Hope, like we talk all the time on the phone, but it's quick. You know, it's like, hey, like I'm driving to the gym right now and talk for like 5 minutes and, you know, hang up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how those kind of relationships evolve and ebb and flow. Yes. So I think as you go through different seasons of your life.
Yes, totally. Okay. That I could talk about that for so long. Okay. All right. Let's get into a good one. Butthole sunning.
Oh, okay. What do I like about butthole sunning? Is that like the technical term that people – yes. Is that the hashtag that's trending?
Yeah, I think it is a hashtag, butthole sunning.
Okay. I love anytime people are out getting their daily D on, obviously. I am also pro like get your – I mean to increase your endogenous vitamin D levels, you do have to have about 70%+ of your skin exposed. I don't know if your butthole directly will correlate with increasing levels. But I'm also pro like – I don't know. The older I get, like the more I understand why people just like want to be naked alone like in the woods, like, you know, like
totally
just fucking off and doing whatever. So I'm pro leaning into that, like just being a wild child and whatever.
Yes.
So I love that for anybody who wants
yes.
to do that. I would say objectively what people probably don't like is being exposed to other people's buttholes without having some kind of like a mutual
warning.
Agreement. Yeah. So I would say that, you know, probably that part of it is not great. And depending on how clean they are, you know, what their cleanliness is like and what's
yeah,
going
yeah.
on down there would probably
yes.
be the one deterrent for me. Yeah.
Oh my god!
I didn't know this. Is this like a very trending thing that I'm missing out on?
Well, there are people that yeah that sun their buttholes and or sun their vaginas. I will say, I like haven't like I don't have access to privacy where I am, so I can't
yeah.
do it. But there's been two times where I was like, like I'm gonna like try this. And so one time was Dan and I were on a road trip. In the middle of nowhere in Arizona, and like literally not a single car had passed, and I was wearing a jean skirt, no underwear, and I was like, I'm just going to sun my vagina.
Dude, I couldn't tell you last time I wore underwear, and like that also needs, like I never wear underwear, so I'm like,
yes.
I would be the same way. I'd be like, yeah, let me just get my vagina in the sun right now.
Right.
I would rather someone
yes.
put sun on their butthole than bleach on their butthole, you know, like if I had
yes.
if I was part of marketing for that crew, yeah, I think that's better, but yeah,
totally.
I've heard of it. I just didn't know if that was still trending.
It's still trending. I feel like it's starting to come back. It was like, it was trendy first as like weird, and then I feel like it went dormant, and now it's coming back as like cool, you know, in the like biohacky scene, I would say. When I sunned my vagina, I gotta say, it did feel so good. Something about it, I think it's just because it's different, you know, like just that like warmth. I was just like, whoa, like this feels really good. And then the other time I did it, I did the exact same thing. We were in Maine, and we were, you know, this is perks of being an introvert. Everyone went on the boat, I think like a second time, and I didn't want to go, and I just wanted to kick back, and like no one was there like on the dock or anything like that. I was like, I'm gonna send my vagina again, and I did. And it did feel absolutely amazing. So while it's not something that I feel like I have to do for health or to get my vitamin D levels up, if I get the chance,
the opportunity
I'm totally doing
presents
it
itself,
yes.
I would also lean into that for sure.
Yes totally. That's I have not sunned my butthole though.
Yeah.
That one I have not tried, but I feel like I honestly feel like I would enjoy it.
Do you have to like spread your butt open? Like, you
yes.
know what I mean? Like, I'm just thinking
yes.
of, so that to me, yeah, that's, I would rather my vagina. It just seems like easier. You know, I could starfish on the ground. Like,
yes,
you know,
yes. It's
the
definitely
butthole just,
easier.
Yeah.
Okay. <know? laughs> Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. Okay. Next one. Collagen.
Ooh, good one. I know you're a collagen girl. So, but I know you
I'm
also
not.
Do your research. I know. I was going to say, I know you like I'm saying, you do your research on calling people
yes.
out on collagen.
Yes.
What I like about collagen is obviously it's an important protein for our, you know, hair, skin, and nails, for our ligaments, for our body, like for our gut. So, I mean, I like collagen as what collagen is supposed to do. As a supplement, what I don't like is people taking the wrong kinds of collagen, not taking the proper mixture of like the, you know, the three main ones that are usually in supplements, how pricey that can get as well. For collagen as well, I'm a much bigger proponent of using supporting nutrients. So things that are like rich in silica and like trace minerals, so like horsetail and bamboo and things like that. So I would rather see that and protein, right? Which is like the building block of you know, our elasticity. So I think there's just a lot of hype around. I fell into the hype when it first came out too. Like, I get it, you know? Yeah. But like, yeah. I don't think we need it as much as people think that we need it every day.
I know.
And for the price point.
Mm-hmm. I know. I completely agree. I remember like, I used to take it, really liked it. And I now that I'm looking back, I'm like, I think I really liked it because I was missing out on certain nutrients that collagen provided. And I, looking back, I was just not getting in a ton of protein. So then as I was taking collagen, that would obviously give me, you know, protein. So I think like that's why I liked it.
The building blocks, it's like what, cysteine, glycine, what's the third building block for like collagen, something else?
I thought it starts, I think it starts with an L, but I'm not.
Yeah. So, I would rather see somebody, to your point, like, just get your protein, get your amino acids in. Like, again, like the building blocks, B vitamins, like that's another
vitamin
one.
Vitamin C.
Collagen.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I agree. And it also can be hard for people with like high histamine.
Yes. Very good point. That's how I also feel about things like kombucha as well. Like, not always great for, you know, like if you got gut stuff going on, like we shouldn't be always adding more to the gut microbiome, or fermentation's not always our friend.
Yeah. That's one that shocks me because so many people push fermented, you know, food and in such a high abundance as well that I'm like, whoa, if you have high histamine, that is not going to feel good.
Not going to be a good time for you or anybody involved. Yeah.
Right. Totally. Okay. Next one. What do you think about liquid IV or like those hydration packets?
So liquid IV, what I like is that, well, it's funny because in California, they were like gas stations. There was like one every 5 feet. So like, you know, it was very normal there. They're starting to pop up here a lot in New Jersey. And so it's interesting, the marketing that's going on with that. What I like is that it's bringing a conversation to wellness and health, right? And like kind of this, I guess, proactive way of taking charge of your health. There's a lot of things I don't like about IV therapy. I will say I like it for things like glutathione, because that's one of the ones that IV, like, you know, intravenously we do need. But again, I don't think for the average person it's necessary all the time. I think it should be used as an as-need basis, not every day like a multivitamin, because having for the price point that it is. So like, having super high doses of the B vitamins all the time, I think it's cool for occasions. Like if you're traveling or you're hungover or you have gone through something.
So you're talking about IV. You're actually talking about like an IV that they put in your arm.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Okay. IV therapy?
I was talking about the liquid IV like packets that you pour into water.
Oh. But
I like what you're saying here too about IV stuff. Yes.
But so the liquid IV packets, like what, the hydration ones?
Yes. Like, you know how like everyone's like Element or what's the big popular brand? And they're just, you know, tearing it off, pouring it into their water and saying like, my cells are extra hydrated, you know?
Yeah. So it's funny because I've recently looked at the package of those to see what the formulation was, like what was going on. So again, I like that it's promoting hydration. Like, yeah, okay, if it's going to make you drink more water or whatever, like, I like that. We should all be drinking more water. Definitely. What I don't like is that usually it's really just like some extra sugar, like a glucose or like a vitamin. Yes. Like they're adding like a vitamin C. They're not really, there's really nothing like crazy going on there. So I think it's kind of just like a marketing puffery thing.
Totally.
And you can kind of just like do that yourself.
I know. You really can't. Do you ever put salt in your water?
Oh yeah. Every day almost.
Yeah. What kind of salt do you use?
I just use like Himalayan salt.
Yeah.
Or like Celtic sea salt, you know?
I love the Celtic sea salt.
Yeah. I think that's like, you know, I'll do that and like I make my own like, you know, ginger juice kind of thing. And it just depends like what I'm feeling that day. Like some days I don't, some days I do. It kind of feels like if I'm feeling extra tired or what's been going on with my life and me personally, like, I mean, that's how I approach most anything, you know, like where I'm like, yeah, how do I feel today? What do I need more of or less of today?
So true. And beverages, I feel like you're such a beverage gal too. You always have like interesting drinks, things like that. I'm the same way. I do feel like what you're drinking at any given moment says a lot about what's going on with you in that moment.
Yeah. Some days I'm just tired of drinking water. So I'm like, what other ways can I get hydration in today? Yes. You know, I'm like, you know, so I think, but yeah, I mean, if it's going to help people drink more water, I like that. If they if you're always chronically dehydrated, again, like what's going on? Are you like sweating a lot? Are you like losing minerals a lot? You know, or is there other underlying problems? So that's kind of always, that's how my brain always works.
Yes, totally. Okay. Next one, beef liver.
Oh, good one. So what I like about beef liver is that it is definitely a very nutrient dense packed super quote food, if you want to call it that. I think it's a great way, you know, we're not eating a lot of organ meats, particularly in America. So I do think, it's really great for, you know, iron and B12 and zinc and a lot of those, you know, for, you know, even CoQ10 levels, that's really hard to get from the diet. So I like that.
You what eat I, meat, right?
Oh yeah. 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 I tried to be, I tried to be vegetarian back in college, I remember. And I was like, I was a personal trainer at the time and I was like bruising all the time. And I was so fatigued. I mean, I always look like I'm like one shade away from being anemic and dead, like the pale skin that I have, you know, like very, pale's making a comeback. So like I would get pale extra pale and no, I love it. Like are you kidding me? This face will never see the sun. But I was like extra pale and extra bruising. And I remember my boss at the time was like, are you eating meat? And I was like, no. And so, yeah, I do eat meat.
Yeah. When I was vegan for a few years and I was so sick. I was so fatigued. It was awful.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah. Okay. So one thing you don't like about beef liver.
I would say, again, it's going to have to be a quality thing. Like, you know, if the organs are accumulating toxins in us as humans, like I think the animal quality is going to be important too. I know there's that one brand, I think it's like called Paleo Life or something. I think that's like one of the better brands. And I think it can be pricey. I think you have to take like 4 to 6 pills a day. So from a compliance standpoint, I think a lot of people probably aren't doing that as well. So I don't like that. I mean, if you could like stomach it, just eat the real thing and maybe not take the supplement form, but
that's,
I know I'm not.
That's
eating.
What I do.
Yeah.
I just cook it right into my beef.
Yeah.
And I don't even notice. I really like people scared me so much on trying it. There's like, they're like, I'm dicing it up into these little cubes and freezing it and just shooting it back. Like it's like this horrible, horrible thing. So I just like had this preconceived notion that it's going to be the most disgusting thing in the world. But then I tried it like mixed into my like beef. I'm like, this is totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's super common in a lot of other cultures that like aren't America. So I mean, I'm sure there's a way to put enough garlic on anything. Tastes good.
Oh my gosh. So true. Okay. I have two more before we go that I want your opinion on. No, okay. Coffee enemas.
Ooh. So my disclaimer is I've never done a coffee enema and I really want to.
Okay.
So what I like about them is obviously the benefits and the ritual, I think, of an enema and what it can actually do to support the GI tract and, you know, colon health and all of that. What I don't like is from what I've seen clinically is people overusing them, people using them for the wrong reasons, like for weight loss stuff. You know, I've heard of some crazy cases where people like have like done it improperly where they've used like hot coffee and then they've like burned themselves.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
I don't like when the application is done poorly or again, the overuse of it or the over-reliance of it. I don't like that. I would suggest going to a professional person first and then like learning about it maybe if you want to take that to your own home. I think you've done a few of them, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those things you have to do so much research like beforehand. Yeah. You know,
what advice would you give to somebody the first time they were doing a coffee enema? Like what advice would you give them?
Yeah. Well, get really good coffee. Like I like Dr. Wilson's green coffee. It's like it's made for coffee enemas, super high in antioxidants. Definitely let your shit cool down. You know, people like they get so excited and they just want to do it right away. Let it cool down. Make sure you have either like a glass or a stainless steel bucket. I think that's so important. Coconut oil is lube. I think that's queen for sure. Yes. And there's way more research than like what I'm saying here. So like I would recommend, like you said, working with a functional medicine doctor. If you don't have access to that, I mean, get access to that. That should be number one. For sure. Yeah. I don't think they're for like everyone, but they are amazing. I think they can help with detox support, boosting glutathione levels. I will say make sure no one else is home or no one else is outside your door, because you will be shitting your brains out for real.
You'll like, it is opening up quite literally.
It's a lot louder than you think. It is so much louder than you think. So make sure no one is there, because
I was actually on Christina. I think you know Christina Rice. I was on her podcast like a couple weeks ago, and we were joking about things like that I would love to do if I got married one day at a bachelorette party. Like, I would be like, okay, guys, we're all getting like gua sha and cupping, and we're going to do coffee enemas, and we're going to like do Pilates. Like, that would be my dream, to be like, all right, girls, we are going to like get shit going quite literally to kick this off.
Everyone would be feeling so good.
They would be.
Truly. They'd be feeling, they'd honestly leave with all these new practices. Like, that would be like the dream bachelorette for me, for sure. So, hey, if that happens, invite me on your bachelorette,
bitch. Oh, you're 100% invited.
I want to be there.
You will be there for sure.
I did not have a bachelorette party.
Well, maybe we have to throw you a delayed one.
You know what? Maybe we should do a girls trip for real.
You know how people do like delayed honeymoons? I think that's actually the move, is do like a delayed bachelorette party, because it's another, it's a reason to celebrate later. And then like, you probably made new friends or, you know, cut some other people out. Like, we should talk about that offline for sure.
We should totally talk about that. That's so true. Yes. Okay.
We should do it. We didn't have a bachelorette party. We have to have one. Let's do it in Texas.
Okay. We'll start planning. Okay. Last trend, fasting, intermittent fasting.
I knew you were going to ask this one.
Did you?
I did. How could you? I mean, anybody, how could you not have this conversation? What I love about fasting is.
Oh, it got frozen.
Oh, is it going?
Oh, no. I hear you now. Okay.
What I love about fasting is the research that exists for fasting, for autophagy and for, you know, some of your Sichuan longevity genes and what it can really do if you are the right candidate for fasting. Like, unfortunately, a lot of the research is on like middle-aged men and fasting. And so like from a women's standpoint, we don't totally know. I think there's more anecdotal research, but there is a lot of really great research in theory about fasting and what it can do for longevity and, you know, for the healthy aging process and for some of these markers of inflammation. So I think there's a lot of good stuff there. What I don't love about fasting is, again, the application. I think for some people, depending on what your relationship is with food and dieting and body and all that, if you're using it as a form to have disordered eating habits, I don't love that. If you truly have a lot of underlying issues going on, whether that's hormonal, whether that is like thyroid stuff, like what I see with fasting people, with women particularly, is it works for a short amount of time and then they feel worse afterwards. So I think with anything, I mean, I've said this from day one, like, try it, you know, see how it works, do it till it doesn't work anymore. And then you can like give it a break, you know, with something like fasting, like you don't have to do it every day. You can kind of do it like, okay, maybe 2 days a week I'm going to do it, or, you know, once a month or whatever it is, you know? So I think everything doesn't have to be a religion where, again, you like live or die by it. So I think
people take it way too far.
Yeah. And I think if you are super stressed, it is a stressor for some people in the body. I wouldn't suggest doing like a crazy 24-hour, 48-hour fast, going from zero to that. Like, if you're somebody who's been fasting for years, it's a really big part of spiritual practices. I know there's like a lot of religious components to it. Like, if you have practice with that and you're already an elevated client, sure, try it out, lean into it. But if you're very new, you're like following these fasting gurus and you go like from, you know, eating whatever, six meals a day, and then you're like, I'm just not going to eat for 2 days. Like, I don't love that.
Yeah. I totally agree. All right, Bree, this is honestly one of my most favorite podcasts I have ever done. I'm not kidding you. I don't think I've ever laughed this much on a podcast.
This I always joke. So I say I want to combine education and humor. Those are my passions in life.
Yes. Yeah. I love when people can just like shoot the shit around health and just like be chill and like funny about it.
Yes. Life is meant to be lived.
It really is. It's so true. All right. So if someone wants to like, they want your services, they want you, they just, you know, what is the best way to reach you right now?
I mostly live on Instagram. That's like my main platform. So it's just at Brianna DiOrio. And then my website is briannadiorio.com. I would say those are probably the two best places to find me because everything else is like linked out from there. And then I have my own podcast as well, which is the Brianna Approved podcast, which you have been a guest on, which is also one of my favorite episodes. My whole family. My whole family loved that episode. They were just like, we can't get enough of Katie. Like, she's so beautiful and so smart and so charming. Like, everybody loved you. So, obviously. You all can listen to that episode. And, yeah, like I said, just, you know, Instagram, Brianna DiOrio, and that's me.
Your podcast, it is so good. I play it all the time when I'm cleaning.
Thank you.
I need to, like, text you and tell you when I – because I don't think you know how often I listen. It's so good.
I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, Brie. We're going to do this again.
Thanks for having me. I'll see you at your post-bachelorette party whenever we plan it. Introvert bachelorette party.
Yeah. Yes. Introvert bachelorette party. Coffee enemas and gua sha. Woo. Bye.